Good morning. It's April 12th, Easter Sunday, and I've waited until this morning early to preach this sermon, but I hope everyone is doing well today. We miss everyone. Though we are not meeting together in space, we are certainly meeting over the computer, and folks are listening on Sundays to the sermon and other one-on-one and computer type meetings are going on. And we're excited about a lot of things. It's been really good in many ways for our family, but at the same time, we cannot wait until we meet again. And we're very hopeful and we are praying. And so let's get started this morning. I'm going to be looking at Job chapter 19. Just a few verses there in Job. If you would, turn with me to Job chapter 19. I'm going to read verses 25 to 27. And the title of the sermon this morning is The Worldview of Job. The Worldview of Job. Starting in verse 25 of Job chapter 19. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and at last he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been thus destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see myself for myself, and my eyes shall behold and not another. My heart faints within me. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, as we approach these words this morning from your word, from your truth, we pray that you would give us grace, that we would listen, that we would understand. We believe in the power of the preached, taught, and read Word of God. I pray that Christ would be lifted up. I pray that he would increase, that we would decrease. Father, especially on this Sunday as we celebrate Easter, the resurrection. Father, we know as Christians we celebrate that every day, but this gives us an opportunity to particularly point out the resurrection of our Lord Jesus. Give us grace this morning, we pray, in Jesus' name. When we read through the Bible, we see that as I often say, and as the psalmist says, life is short and full of troubles. God's people have always suffered, whether it is because of righteousness, as we live differently than the world and are persecuted because of this, or whether we suffer alongside the world because of sin, such as the case even now with COVID-19. These truths are always happening at the same time, but we have a great advantage. Why? Because we believe and understand the truth about this world. Our worldview is very different than those of the world. And our source of truth is the Word of God. Today, we have the full canon of Scripture as God has given us everything that we need for life and godliness. Also, we are in the days of the gospel, also called the last days. We look back upon the pinnacle of God's revelation in Christ. Hebrews 1:1-3 says this: Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. And the only thing we await is the return of Christ, which will usher in the consummation of all things. But when we think about Job, this was not the case. Most biblical scholars say that Job was older than the patriarchs of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His life comes before these men. and God's revelations to those men. He did not have the law of Moses, which is called the book of the law. He did not have the blessing of a godly king, such as David or Solomon. He did not have the mediation of priests to instruct him in the ways of worship and sacrifice. He did not have the tabernacle or the temple. However, as we read the book of Job, we see that the foundations of his faith are the same as ours. And we are not surprised, because it is the same Spirit of God that revealed, the same Spirit of God that revealed those, reveals those things to us, also revealed those things to him. We can also say that Job's worldview was very much the same as ours today. The difference is that we look back upon a great history of fulfillment, particularly the gospel of Christ, through which we must remember, through which we must preach the book of Job. With this in mind, I want us to see certain truths this morning that shaped the worldview of Job, and that which gave him such great comfort in the midst of his suffering. And I might add, suffering unlike certainly I have never known, and unlike most of us or all of us have ever known. And in doing this, we will also see that our worldview, that which the lens with which we look through and understand our world and what is going on around us, our worldview is very much the same. And this will help us as we navigate these days. So I have four truths this morning from Job 19. First one is this: God is the living God. Job is very aware of his own suffering and death, and in his mind, it will come soon. Look back there with me, if you'll turn to Job, just turn back a couple chapters there, page to Job 17. Job 17, verse 1. He says, "My spirit is broken. My days are extinct. The graveyard is ready for me." And it seems that he has no hope. In chapter 17 also, verses 13 to 16, he says, "If I hope for Sheol as my house, if I make my bed in darkness, if I say to the pit, 'You are my father,' and to the worm, 'My mother,' or 'My sister,' where then is my hope? Who will see my hope? Will it go down to the bars of Sheol? Shall we descend together into the dust?" And then in chapter 19, verse 25, our main verse this morning, as he considers this truth, here's what he says through the eyes of faith. He says, I know that my Redeemer lives. His faith is in the God who lives. And this was fundamental to his worldview and an anchor for his soul. Do you remember what young David said when he heard the words of Goliath that day when the armies of Israel were gathered up against the armies of the Philistines, and Goliath would come out every day and say words against the God of Israel? And here's what David says as he comes to the battle, to the front lines, to bring his brothers some food and to check on things. He heard this Goliath, and here's what he says: "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" It's 1 Samuel 17. Do you remember also when the armies of Assyria were encamped outside of Jerusalem during Isaiah's time? And by faith, King Hezekiah, he prays. Here's what he prays. He says, "Incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see and hear the words of the Sennacherib, which he has sent to mock the living God." In Psalm 84:2, the psalmist says, "My soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh, they sing for joy to the living God." The Lord God is true. He is the true God. He is the living God and everlasting King. Brothers and sisters, our God is the living God, the God who lives. Now, I must ask, how does this truth shape our worldview today with all the sickness and the suffering and death all around us? And I must say, during this coronavirus time, we think about it specifically, but brothers and sisters, it's going on around us always. Some places of the world, it is worse. Sometimes it is less, and it is up and down, but it is always the same. And so with sickness and suffering and death all around us, God is alive. He is the living God, and our hope is in Him. He is the only source of life. He created all things. He created us, and He breathed the breath of life into us as special image bearers of Himself. We represent the God who lives. To the atheist, there is no hope. To him, there is no God who lives. To those who put their trust in the idols of this world, there is no hope. For the idols of this world do not live. They will pass away. And did you know the Apostle Paul says this is the reason that we go and tell the world that is dying? Paul says, to this end, we toil and strive because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe. What an opportunity, brothers and sisters, during this particular crisis, as people are scared about sickness and the thought of dying. God is the living God. Now, second truth in this passage we see that shapes our worldview. We serve a God who will raise the dead. Look back at chapter 19 there, verse 26. Job says also, I will see him. Here we see that Job believes that after he dies, he will live and see God. Now, we do not know exactly how much Job understood or knew about the Messiah or the resurrection of the Messiah. But we do know that he believed in a general resurrection of the dead. And clearly he believed as a man of faith that he would see God one day. And this brought great hope to his suffering, that one day he would rise again to see God. And this would be under very different circumstances for him. Now, I do not believe Job had a particular understanding of the resurrection body, as we find, for example, with the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, as he lays out the entire chapter almost, explaining the resurrection. Job certainly did not understand this. But the truth, we might say, the truth that he had, the seed of the resurrection was there. And like us, this was essential to his worldview. There are many in this world who do not believe in the resurrection of the dead. In fact, much of the world says this: eat, drink, be merry, for tomorrow you will die. There is no hope of the God who lives and the God who will resurrect the dead. Even religious persons in the world, many of them do not believe in the resurrection. For example, do you remember the Sadducees? We often used to say they didn't believe in the resurrection. That's why they were sad, you see. But they were strong religious Jews. Many of them were from the upper class. Many of them were in charge of the temple duties of that day. And they came to Jesus to test him. And they said, Jesus, you know that if a man is married to a woman and he dies, then his brother must take her as his wife so that he can provide for her. And we'll see this later on in the sermon with the Redeemer. But they came to test him in this way. Well, here's what they continue on, and they say, let's just give an example, Jesus. Say there's a woman. She's married. Her husband dies. Well, then his brother takes her as his wife, as he should. Well, then let's say he dies. And then the next brother takes her. Then he dies. And then the next brother takes her. And then he dies. And there are seven brothers. And so it goes with each of the seven brothers. And they've all had her as their wife. And they try to use this illustration as a way to deny the resurrection of the dead. And they ask Jesus after telling this story, in the resurrection, Jesus, whose wife will she be? And they try to catch him. Listen to Jesus' response. Jesus replies, you are wrong because you know neither the scriptures nor the power of God. Let me say just quickly there, this is why many, and even ourselves, why we sin and why we are in sin often, because we do not know the power of God, nor do we know the scriptures. Jesus says, for in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are they given in marriage, but they are like the angels in heaven. And as for the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what was said to you by God? He says, I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. He is not God of the dead, but of the living. And when the crowd heard it, they were astonished at his teaching. When the apostle Paul was being put on trial by the Jews of Jerusalem, and he stands there before this mob of people, I think it's with Felix. He says, or he looks out into the crowd and he sees there are both Pharisees and Sadducees. And so he knows they disagree on this point. And so Paul says in Acts 23, verse 6, it is with respect to the hope and the resurrection of the dead, excuse me, that I am on trial today. Of course, we know this is in respect to the resurrection of Jesus, which we will come to shortly. But for now, the truth that God will raise the dead is so important for our worldview. It is the source of great hope for the one who trusts in God. Abraham knew that God would raise his son Isaac from the dead, Hebrews 11:19, if he were to sacrifice him. If you go to Hebrews 11 and you see the hall of faith, you will see that all of those folks died having not received the promises, but they believed in the resurrection of the dead. Brothers and sisters, so do we. This is essential to our worldview. This means that when we talk to our neighbors, our thoughts go way beyond this world and the grave and look to a bodily resurrection where we will see God. Third truth this morning, third worldview that we see with Job, God is a God who saves. Look again at 19:25. Job says, I know my who? Redeemer. Lives. If Job is a very old book, which I believe that it is, this shows that the idea of a redeemer goes way back in history. So we must ask, who or what is a redeemer? And we see this best explained in the law of Moses. When hard times fell on someone financially because of difficulties, or if a husband were to die, and the family would have to sell or lose their possessions, it was expected that the closest relative would come along and buy or take possession and provide for that family. Leviticus 25:25 says this. If your brother becomes poor and sells part of his property, then his nearest redeemer shall come and redeem what his brother has sold. In this way, the Redeemer acts as a savior to the one who is about to lose his possessions. The Redeemer comes and buys them for the one who has no money or assets. For Job, as one who is suffering, having lost his children, his cattle, his livestock, his houses, his health, his standing in the community, his reputation, his relationship with his wife, his ability to maintain and keep his possessions. If there was anyone who needed a redeemer, it was Job. But Job does not look to an earthly redeemer. He looks by faith to a heavenly redeemer, one who lives. And he even says in verse 25 that at the last he will stand upon the earth. And this redeemer is who? It is God himself. As Job looks forward, he sees God himself, the living God who will raise the dead as his redeemer. What a beautiful picture as Job looks forward to the fulfillment of these words. What a beautiful faith as Job looks to his only hope. In these words of hope, we see the incarnation of the Son of God as one who stood on this earth, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And why did the Lord Jesus come? He came as a Savior, a Redeemer. And he didn't come to redeem our land and our possessions, though he will do that for all of creation. But he came particularly to redeem us. Who are we? Sinners. Those who have rebelled against their Maker. Those who have fallen short of the glory of God. Those who have lost all hope for life. For the wages of sin is death. And in Job's response of hope, we also see the price of redemption. It is the blood of Christ, the precious blood of Christ. He laid down his life as a substitute sacrifice for sinners. In their place, he stood. This is the cross of Christ. Today, brothers and sisters, if you are a Christian, if you have believed on the Lord Jesus, if you have received him and your faith rests upon him, you have been redeemed. The Son of God has purchased your salvation, your freedom, your past, your present, your future sins have been laid upon Christ. And now there is certainly no condemnation from the Father. There is no chance to lose what he has purchased for you. You are secure. And that's not all. In Job's words, we see a living Redeemer. Yes, he died. But he rose again. John Mark records these words. Listen to them this morning. When the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. And he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they have laid him." Brothers and sisters, today there is no body in the tomb where they laid him. It is empty. It is empty today. It will be empty tomorrow and next week, and it will be empty for eternity, for death could not hold him. The resurrection of Christ, the Redeemer, is God's stamp upon all of his work. After all, he is the living God, and he does raise the dead. Brothers and sisters, there is nothing lacking in your redemption today. It is finished. And our Lord hasn't only been raised from the dead. He has also ascended to heaven where he sits and where he reigns until he comes again. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We serve a God who is our living Redeemer. Finally, this morning, the last truth we see in Job's worldview and in ours, we see a God who makes all things new. I think that we see this really throughout the entire text, but especially look at verse 26. We read this, "And after my skin has been thus destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God." I do not believe that Job understood what some of the writers of the New Testament understood and what we understand today. But again, we see in Job the seed of this truth that is fulfilled in Christ. Job looked forward to a new day when all things would be made right, all things new, beginning with his own body. As body and soul would be joined again one day in the resurrection. Look at verse 20. Verse 20 of chapter 19. My bones stick to my skin and to my flesh, and I have escaped by the skin of my teeth. Look back again at chapter 17 as we've already read these verses. I'm going to read them one more time. Chapter 17, verse 13. If I hope for Sheol as my house, if I make my bed in darkness, if I say to the pit, you are my father, and to the worm, my mother or my sister, where then is my hope? Who will see my hope? Will it go down to the bars of Sheol? Shall we descend together into the dust? When Job considered his own body, I think he knew it would soon be a feast for the worms. But in great hope, he looked forward to a new body in the presence of God. His body would see corruption in that day. But when we think of what we've just spoken of, Christ's body would not. And in this, especially as we look forward to the new heavens and the new earth, Job's hope was found. And not only his body and soul would be renewed, but all of creation. And here we have much more to say than Job. As we read these words from Job, we know these truths are fulfilled in the resurrection of Christ. In this context of the resurrection in Romans chapter 8, we read, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed in us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies, for in this hope we are saved." There's so much we could read here about what will happen one day as it's related to the resurrection of Christ and the resurrection of believers, and even as we see here with creation, as God will make all things new, and the creation also groans and waits for this time. In Revelation 21, verse 5, the Lord Jesus says, "Behold, I am making all things new." Brothers and sisters, No matter what time of history we live, these same truths are the essence of our worldview. So let me try and sum this up this morning. We serve a living God. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. He has given us life, and he sustains life. And we have no hope for any breath if he is not the living God. And as we look around at the death around us, we know that life will win. God is the God of life, and death has been conquered. He will raise the dead. And in this, we find our hope. Also, our worldview says that God is a God who enters our world as a savior, a redeemer. In him, in Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on the earth. In Christ, he is making all things new. This means that what we see now on this earth will not continue in the new heavens and the new earth. And in this truth lies our hope. And if this is our worldview, if by faith we really believe these things, how can there be anything but hope, brothers and sisters? So today, be encouraged. I certainly am. Be encouraged with these words. We serve a living God. He will raise the dead. And we know this because Jesus, the Son of God, has conquered death. He is our Redeemer. And his resurrection is the first fruits of a new heaven and a new earth where God will make all things new. What beautiful words this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give thanks for these truths from our brother Job, who lived so many years ago. But Father, his worldview and these truths were the anchor for his soul as he suffered. Father, help us to suffer well. Help us to endure this life of sickness and of death. For the wages of sin is death, but for us, we know your help has come in Christ, for the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Help us today as we get ready, even again this week, many of us to work from home, others to go to work, as we do our best to love our neighbor. Father, as we social distance and do our best, Father, we know that in all of these times, Jesus is risen from the dead, and we are the most blessed people in the world. We praise you, and we pray to the God who is living, who raises the dead, who sends his only Son, our Redeemer, and who will make all things new. Give us great grace today and this week. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Grace Baptist Church podcast. Past sermons can be found at podbean.com. Search Grace Baptist Church China Grove to find us. If you have an iPhone or a Mac, you can download the podcast app and do a search for Grace Baptist Church China Grove and subscribe, and you'll be updated every week. Thank you for listening, and be intentional in making disciples this week.